All right, it's time for our monthly visit with the Multicultural Leadership Program, and we've packed them in here again today, just like we did last month. We've got a couple of members of two different project teams. Their graduation is coming up next month, April 28th. And we have here a project team consisting of Alexis Wolstein.
That's correct.
And Lucas Helmer. And then also a project team. And this is not the whole project team. These are two representatives from each of these project teams, Julie Emig and Crystal Bricker. Welcome to WJBC.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Thank you.
Let's just start out, for those who don't know and they've heard of multicultural leadership, what is the Multicultural Leadership Program? I know from doing these interviews that you guys, it's a different group every year of people, and you're each assigned a project or to work with a local nonprofit, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Every year there is a different class, and so we're wrapping up the class of 2018. It's an intense professional development program that helps us get involved with the community and develop some skills with servant leadership, and it partners with different nonprofits throughout McLean County so that our five-person teams can support them in some different goals that they have.
So, Alexis, you and Lucas are working with the Town of Normal Refuge Food Forest Project, and then Julie and Crystal, their project team, is working with the Bloomington Public Library. Since I started with you, Alexis, we'll get with you and Lucas first. Tell me about your project with the Refuge Food Forest program.
Well, the Food Forest is a joint project between the Town of Normal and the University of Illinois Extension. It's about an acre of land out by the old Sailor and Soldier School and has about 2,500 different plants and offers these plants for free to anyone in the community to pick and eat right there.
So your team is doing what with the Food Forest project?
We've created an outreach plan for them with some resources, educational packets that are going out to local area schools and daycares to try and get some local kids to engage with the spot, pick their own foods. And there's no better way to get an entire family involved than to get those kids excited first.
Yeah, that's and they learn a lot, too. It's since we live in an area that's so ag-based.
Right.
Right. And some of them don't live in families or didn't grow up or don't grow up on farms. And everybody really should learn a little something about this. It's got to do with nutrition. It's got to do with where your food comes from and things like that.
It's organic, it's free, and it's all about seeing what grows here in our community. And I thought that I knew a lot about this sort of thing, but I'd never seen asparagus growing in the wild before, and it was not what I expected it to look like.
Yeah, you probably didn't know it grew here.
I had no idea that it grew here. No, no. And there's berries, and this will be the first year that their fruit trees will be having fruit there for the public to pick as well. Herbs, natural grasses. It's a really fascinating and fun way to just kind of get your hands dirty in our town.
Yeah. These different plants and trees and stuff that grows vegetables, you said there's nuts, there's berries, all this great stuff, becomes ripe maybe at different times during the growing season, right?
That's right. They're starting to see the greens, those herbs, and that sort of thing starting to come through. A little bit later in the season, you'll start to see the berries coming up, although I've been told that once those berries start getting ripe, all those little kids hit the spot and pick them up as quick as they can eat them. So.
Yeah, well, you can't leave them on too long.
No, and the animals in the area won't let you either.
I was going to ask you about that. How do you? I've always wondered when an area does a food forest like that, how you protect the product, the plants, the fruit, so that you still have it for the picking.
Well, I think part of it is to show how this stuff actually occurs in nature. And part of that is that it does feed the animals and the birds and the community as well. It's part of a whole ecosphere. And we don't get enough opportunities to really see where our food and the way that we interact with these natural environments, how they all line up together.
Sure. It's mostly just looking for stuff like cottage cheese at the grocery store.
Right. There's a big difference between seeing berries in a little pint basket and seeing them on the bush.
Yeah, we're really fortunate to live in this day and age. All right, hey, let's go over here to Julie Emig and Crystal Bricker, and they're working their project for the Bloomington Public Library. It's a project called Spread the Word, right?
Yes, Project Spread the Word. And the library approached the Multicultural Leadership Program and asked us, the project team, to develop a plan to meet essentially three goals that they had. One was to spread the word about the online resources they have at the library. They do so much more beyond the books, and they wanted to get beyond the brick and mortar of that building. And the second goal they had was to reach what they perceived to be underserved parts of our community, and specifically the west side of town. And their final goal was to sign up people for library cards, because you can't use the resources if you don't have a card. They suggested a door-to-door campaign as their method. And our goal was to collaborate with them in creating an on-foot, take-it-to-the-streets door-to-door initiative. We mapped out an area in the Miller Park neighborhood, and there were teams of eight, two per team, one library staff member, one community member, or someone from our project. And we knocked on over 200 doors one Saturday morning in late October. We had a great success. We spoke with over 50 residents. We signed up over nine new library cards and some renewals. And in fact, we confirmed that while a lot of people were big fans of the library and a lot of folks used, especially the children's resources, they did not know about the amount of online resources or additional resources that were available.
Yeah, you can access the library right there from your own desktop or laptop, can't you?
Yes, and not only that, but you can get access to online magazine subscriptions such as Consumer Reports. They have something called lynda.com, which provides training online for a variety of professional or personal interests, and many, many more things that they provide the community, and people just aren't aware of all that's available.
Have you, in your work in trying to promote these resources, have you been able to do any sort of sampling of what people maybe take the most advantage of? I know you mentioned the children's resources at the library and that sort of thing, but what the most interest is and what is drawing the most, for lack of a better term, clients?
Well, I think from our standpoint, when we went out, it wasn't necessarily trying to determine what was being utilized the most as much it was talking to people on an individual level and helping to connect them with things that they might find value in. When we were doing our campaign, one of the teams met with a gentleman who was working on his car in his garage. And so we were able to let him know that as a library card holder, he'd be able to utilize resources to help him when he's working on his car.
Sure.
So it was really more about the individualization of it so that people understood that instead of just letting them know everything that was available, helping them connect with something that would be meaningful for them.
Did you have a goal on signups for it, or did you just go out, you know, just hoping to see what you could find and maybe sign some more people up with library cards?
Yeah, the major goal was really spreading that word, you know, getting the communication out about what's available and making the personal connection that Crystal mentioned. And I think that the library was pleased to get signups, but in the future, as they want to do more of these campaigns, because it was such an effective mechanism for outreach, they would like to really just think more about communication as a primary goal. And the library card is just a lucky second. If we can get more card members, that's great.
All right. Tell me, all of you, we'll start with Julie and Crystal, since they were just speaking about the Bloomington Public Library initiative that they're working on. What are some of the things that of value that you've taken from being in the multicultural leadership program here all these months? What is it? It's about a nine-month program, isn't it? What have you gotten out of it?
I've actually gotten a lot of different tools that I can utilize, not only in my professional life, but my personal life.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a nurse at Advocate Bromen.
So how has it helped you as a nurse?
It's helped me with understanding how I communicate with others around me and being able to see things from a different perspective and being open to seeing things from a different point of view, that sometimes somebody may have an idea of doing something differently, that it's not right or wrong. It's, you know, just a different way of looking at it.
Yeah, maybe based on their own personal life experience, right? That's the prism that we all see things through, right? Alexis and Lucas, what about you guys?
I think the biggest thing that I got out of the program was really learning from others' experiences. We're only limited to what our own life has in terms of experiences, and it's really kind of enlightening to hear similar but also different experiences from others in the classroom. One of the things that I think was a great learning thing for me was being more aware of not only myself in terms of that emotional intelligence, but also being more aware of what others are thinking and feeling. I think that was a good moment for me.
Alexis?
Yeah, and I'll add to that. I think it's not just about learning more about your perspective and other perspectives, but what has been really enlightening for me is just knowing how diverse a set of perspectives we have here in McLean County. Bloomington Normal is a collection of smallish towns, but we have a really diverse, exciting community here with a myriad of different perspectives and backgrounds, and every one of them adds to our community.
And everybody who's in the Multicultural Leadership Program, you're not students.
No.
You're adults. In some cases, you're professionals or raising families or something like that. What do you do, Alexis?
I'm a librarian at Illinois State University.
Yeah, I was mentioning it seems like the Bloomington Library Project would be perfect for you. But on the other hand, if you're trying to learn new things, it's kind of good to get away from that.
I think that's exactly what MCLP does so well, is they really give you not just the support to try new things, but really put you in situations where you're uncomfortable. And because you have the support, you're able to kind of be brave and vulnerable in a way that you can't when your job depends on it. And that's just been really exciting to be able to really put stuff to practice. We read the books, you know, maybe you watch some TED Talks, but how often do you really get a chance to put it to work in a safe, supportive environment? And the Multicultural Leadership Program has definitely done that for me.
And you guys over there at the Milner Library at ISU have a huge archival project that is underway right now, don't you?
We have quite a few archival projects going on at the moment.
I mean, this is stuff that goes back to the beginning of McLean County almost, right?
Well, I mean,
Pictures, articles,
so much of our community here in Normal and Bloomington has been built around Illinois State University, formerly Illinois State Normal College. And part of learning what makes our community what it is now is understanding that history. It's exciting to be at ISU where we're trying to document that. And I hope that the work that we're doing here with MCLP in this community is part of that long history.
Lucas, what do you do for a living?
I'm a compensation and benefits manager for Farnsworth Group.
Okay. All right. And you ladies, Julie and Crystal, how do you spend your time when you're not at MCLP?
I'm doing lots of other community service projects and raising a three-year-old. She just turned three. But before I moved to Bloomington, I was a leader in the Chicago Public Schools, and just another plug for MCLP. I've been through a lot of leadership training, but never had I been forced to confront myself so much and to think about my own strengths and what I can possibly bring to any leadership context. It's just, I wish that I had these tools back there in Chicago.
All right. And what about you?
For my professional realm, I'm a nurse educator.
Oh, yeah, I already asked you that, didn't I?
But if I'm not at school, I have a family, and I also am a PhD student at Illinois State University.
All right. Well, very good. Graduation's coming up in April. We're about a month away, a little more than a month away. That'll be on the 28th. And I thank all of you for coming in and sharing your projects and your stories and your perspective on being in the program. And good luck to all of you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
All right. Very good.